It's a mistake to underestimate Santa Claus. He didn't get a part in the Bible, but he's sure a big part of Christmas. On Christmas Eve, there's a children's service here. It's one of the biggest services of the year. Children and chaos abound, and the atmosphere is charged. We sing, we laugh, we tell stories of cribs and candles and Christmases past. We also have Santa. For years, I've had trouble with Santa. No, it's not the reindeer parking problems or the resultant poo. It's finding Santa himself. It takes a special person to don the Santa suit, and frankly, some of them haven't been up to it. There's more to being Santa than sticking out your stomach and chuckling, ho, 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 and answering smart seven-year-olds. But, and this is the interesting part, Santa is never a flop. He never falls from the grace the children extend. On Santa's entrance from the roof, of course, the energy levels rise. Whatever he says is listened to. Whatever he does is received with rapt attention. The power of Santa is quite formidable. Now, many people take a low view of Santa. He's paraded in every shopping mall in the country, encouraging people to buy and buy more. He doesn't say, pay off that car or pay that phone bill. No, he's saying, buy new, buy now, things we know we could do without. Santa's the slave of rampant consumerism. Then there is the bribery brigade. Listen, boys and girls, if you aren't good, read, do what I say, then Santa won't come this year. Santa's morality is reduced to the suspect morality of these parents. Everything in life has to be earned, including love, including Santa. Yeah, right. Max, my neighbor, also takes a low view of what he calls the Santa myth. He objects to the portrayal of vertically challenged people merrily working in cramped sweatshop conditions. He objects to reindeer being used as promotional aids with no benefits accruing to the threatened herds of Northern Europe. He objects to an obese elderly man being given, firstly, license to enter any home or premises, secondly, a monopoly on the disbursement of gifts, and thirdly, an annual parade in his honor. Santa to him is a symbol of iniquity. The original Santa, of course, was a saint. Dear old wealthy Bishop Nick. He lived in the ancient city of Myra and gave generously to others. One story has it that he was visited by an angel who said, Nicholas, you must take a bag of gold to the pawnbroker's, for he is very poor and has three daughters. Unless they have a dowry, they'll be sold into slavery. Well, Nick took the gold and rushed to the pawnbroker's house, where he discreetly dropped it through a window. Naturally, the parents were overjoyed. Now their eldest could marry. As you would expect in any good story, this angelic visitation and discreet dropping of gold happened three times. But on the third and last drop, the pawnbroker, curious to discover the identity of his benefactor, locked all the windows of the house. Nick, not being short of ideas, climbed up on the roof and deposited the bag down the chimney. It's a story about sympathy for those in poverty, about practical assistance and innovative delivery systems. It's about compassion, it's about shedding wealth, and it's about the virtue of anonymous giving, a virtue that in our modern world of sponsorship seems almost quaint. Personally, I take a high view of Santa. and not just to infuriate my neighbor Max, which it does. I simply believe in Santa Claus. And like most beliefs, it has been refined and tempered by experience, especially year by year, sitting with children at Christmas and trying to explain in simple, precise language the meaning of life, faith, and flying sleighs. There comes a time in most children's lives when some of the mathematics of the Santa myth seem insurmountable. Consider, they say, the number of children in the city, the quantity and size of presents, the dimensions of your above-average stave, the aerodynamic potential of reindeer. So, Glenn, how come? How does he do that? And looking at me as if I were deranged, do you really believe in Santa Claus? And if the Inquisitor is worth their salt, they won't stop there. What about the down the chimney bit? Yep, I said, I'm into it. Look, Glenn, my young friend continues, our chimney is designed for someone who eats only lettuce. It has a middle pipe about 20 centimeters in diameter. Are you telling me that Santa could get down that? Well, I respond, girding myself to the challenge. Tell me how your favorite music group can sing their stuff through cyberspace, enter your computer, and morph onto a CD for you to enjoy whenever. And you think a bit of chimney pipe is a problem? Around now, my young friend will roll their eyebrows and their eyes, code for, my silence is not my assent. Failure to appreciate the fertile imagination is as big a problem in our society today as consumerism. The better question for the young inquirer to ask is about meaning. For Santa means giving, giving to others, giving to those we don't know, giving with no strings attached, no reciprocating gifts. Santa is about dreaming that nothing is impossible when it comes to helping and sharing. No wealth, no chimney, no amount of snow, consumerism or cynicism is going to stop Santa. And that's why I believe in Santa Claus. This Santa saga is more powerful than any factual findings by a geek who sits on a rooftop on Christmas Eve with camcorder and telescope. See, Santa inspires the best in humanity, the best in you and me, which is selfless giving to others. Christmas is simple. Give what you can and then some. Don't believe in barriers to giving. Set your imagination free. Dream of a world where all can have enough and be satisfied, and help that dream become a reality. These are the gifts that Santa brings me time and again, time and again.